Well, the video does so much to explaining who these folks are. Hundreds of churches feeding thousands of people, thousands of children in school and orphanages. And these are our national leaders, the ones that began the Victory Movement in India. So help me welcome Dr. Jay and Pastor Lizzie this morning.
So thank you to have us with you this morning. And you saw that God is doing great things. I'll let Lizzie bring a word of greetings of whatever God has put in her heart, you know, and then I'll come with the word of God. We are so happy to be here this morning. And every time we come here and look at this church right from the road there, I always remind that there is something for this church. And this has got a great potentiality. That's what I feel. So I will share with that whatever I feel in my spirit. Lizzie is going to share with you.
Thank you so much for having us here. Thank you, Pastor Jordan and Audrey. And it's so wonderful to be with Pastor Bill and Sister Audrey also. And we have a great time here. And we are visiting a few of the Victory Churches. And good to be in the Victory Church of Brooks. And every time we come here, we are so blessed and we are so encouraged. And I bring greetings to you from the nation of India, from all the Victory Churches and the Victory Church of Delhi also. And they are very, very, you know, thankful to you. And by your continuous, regular support, we are able to continue the ministry in India and the evangelistic work and the church planting ministry also. You saw so many things. God gave us vision to, you know, to start the orphanage, to start the slum schools and the plant churches and health work project, poor feeding and putting hand pumps in the villages to give them drinking water. All these things God helped us to do to show that he loves those people and he cares for them. And he's really, you know, concerned about what they are going through and the suffering that they are going through. And he tells that he is the only answer to all their needs. Praise God. And we are so thankful to God for that. And, you know, God has given me the responsibility to take care of these charitable ministries, like orphanage. We started from the scratch with one girl. Now we have 67 girls in the orphanage. And just last 6 months, three girls grew up and they got married. And they are married to Christian young men, you know. And they were waiting to marry believers, even though these girls come from a Hindu background, but they get saved and they accept the Lord and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And they want to be married to Christian men to form a godly family. So we are very thankful to God. Some of the girls have finished the colleges and they have started the job. And some of the girls who have finished the school, they teach in our slum school. And they teach the younger girls in the orphanage also. So they are helping in the ministry. And you know, our vision for the orphanage is that these girls should become godly mothers and raise godly generation. Amen. And God is doing that and it's coming to pass. And the slum school we started so that these children who come from the slum will not only get food, clothes and education, but above all, they will know Jesus. And it's happening. When these kids from our slum school, when they go back home and the mothers watch the change in the life and change not only in their, you know, bodily structure, they are getting healthy and they are educated, but they also change in their, you know, behavior, character, the love for God. They sing songs in the house and they recite biblical verses and they come to know Jesus because of that. And that is the vision. God gave us 30,000 slum children in Delhi alone to reach them and through them to reach their families. And each slum family may have five people, parents with three kids maximum, and like five with the 30,000, like 150,000 people from the slums we want to reach out and, you know, give them the gospel to them in the city of Delhi alone. So God is doing that. God is really doing a wonderful thing among the slum kids. And then we feed the poor people. They get every day one hot meal. So we cook in big kitchens. And it's in the morning, 4 o'clock, they get up and start cooking. And, you know, every day, 3,000 children are fed. And it's like, you know, more than 150 kilos of rice are cooked and 90 kilos of chickpeas and beans are cooked every day and is sent in vehicles to different schools and centers and they are served hot meal. Praise God. So God is enabling us to do these things to show that we love them and Jesus cares for them. Amen. And the health work project is wonderful. And the people, we are focusing on one slum pocket of 40,000 people. And we have 35 women, you saw here. They two women go together, visit every house, do some basic first aids, give them health counsels. Above everything, they give the gospel to these women. And many are saved. And we have slum churches going on. They attend our slum church and many are baptized and getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and become part of our slum church. So God is amazing. God is doing great things. You know, God has been talking to me in the last few months. You know, God gives us a vision. Every one of us has a vision. It may be different, but each one we have a vision. Because if people have no vision, they perish. That's what we read in the Bible. We have to have a vision. But if the vision does not have passion, it becomes a frustration. So we have to move with a passion to fulfill the vision. Yes, God has given us the vision to, you know, feed and educate slum children and plant churches, but sometimes, you know, it's a challenge to keep this vision keep on going and the passion for the love for God keep on burning. To keep that blue flame of His love and His presence in our life to be keep on going. That is our challenge, our personal challenge. So, you know, in the Bible, Jesus, when He was tempted, the third thing He says is, worship your Lord, your God, and Him alone you serve. First worship Him, and out of that strength that you have the intimacy with God, that you get the strength from Him, then you go and do the service. Serve Him. We can't serve Him without the strength, the inner strength, the passion, the anointing that we get from that intimate relationship with God. So sometimes, you know, it becomes a routine thing. We get up and we go, we do, and we feed the children, we educate, we preach. Sometimes, you know, here that the blue flame, that we have to maintain it. So we have to learn to continuously be in connection with God, related to God, to keep the intimacy with God, to learn to live in the presence of God. Praise God. Because Paul says, O King Agrippa, I am not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He was able to keep that vision and the passion in midst of persecution, oppression, and difficulties, but he was able to keep that. He was, you know, beaten, he was discouraged, he was suppressed, he was controlled, but he says, that vision, you know, that heavenly vision, I am obedient to that. Praise God. So to keep our vision moving, the passion growing, we have to learn to live in the presence of God. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, you know, one thing I desire of the Lord, that I will live, you know, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold His glory. Praise God. I think we have to seek for that and catch hold of that. That will keep our vision moving on and make our passion alive in our life. Amen. That's what God has been talking to me. Thank you for having us. God bless you.
Thank you, Lizzie. So it's always a joy to come to this house. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Is that right? At this house and every church is a house of prayer. So we need to pray for one another. Number one, I just want to thank this church because I remember the day when I came to the church for the first time. That was the day of inauguration of this new church, this church that was built many, many years ago. So Dr. George was there on the stage, and Pastor Bill and all the other leaders. And I also came here and saw the inauguration. And from that day till today, this house has been in partnership with us. And we are so thankful to God and thankful to you. So regarding that one, I just want to read a word from the Bible. And then I'll go and give the word, message, and share with you what God has put in my heart. Taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. But my God, in verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that is our prayer for you all. Praise God. Because you have been communicating in the missions, and this is me and Lizzie. Every day morning, our set time to pray together. I may get up earlier, I pray first. But then 6 o'clock in the morning, we both pray together. And that's the time we go around all our prayer points and pray for our, sponsors. And we remember all of you. And this is our prayer that my God shall supply all your need. Need just not mean only financial. You have need, emotional needs. You have need in relationship area. You have need in a church and feeding and growing in the Lord. So many ways. You and I can sit down and find out what are the needs in our life. We need one another. And that's why the Bible says pray for one another. It's not a Clint Eastwood stuff. You understand my point? All by ourselves. No. It is a unity. It's a body of Christ. Not by ourselves. We are not lone rangers. We need one another. Praise God. This is what I'm seeing in the last 53 years. Yes, God uses all of us as spearhead something. But then a time comes. It is a team. It is the team that makes that thing happen, become successful. So we are praying for you. Thank you so much for so faithfully you are helping us for many years. And with that, as Lizzie said, with that help, we are able to support workers and, branch workers. And then we help our children also. And so many things are happening. We are so happy, as Pastor Jordan was telling, that this could not happen without the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Some of you quite new. I do not know whether I have seen you before last year. But let me tell you something. We started the ministry with $10 a month. That's 500 rupees in India. Me and my wife and my first son, Elliot, 3 months old. That's how we started. But today, in Delhi alone, we are helping 3,000 children. Are you with me this morning? Are you listening to me? We are not going to stop with 3,000. Please understand, our God is a big God. He has always a big vision. We are believing for 30,000 children in the city of Delhi to help in the next 10 years' time. Is it possible or not? I believe, according to the word of God, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. That's all we need. What does God expect from you and me? You are seeing all those crusades right there. In everywhere. This year, already we have done one crusade up in the Himalayas. Pastor Bill had been there in the Himalayas. I'm not sure whether Butch was there in the Himalayas. I'm not sure about that. But then, right up in the Himalayas, we had a leaders conference in the sense for 3 states. We just choose 3 states and have regional conference. And And right in the city is 8,000 feet high. And we had this crusade. And all the people who come there are all Hindus. And we had this leadership conference. And guess what? There was a guest, you know, an uninvited guest right in the hotel where all our leaders were staying. Is a leopard. A leopard came into the guest house at 12:30 in the night. Thank God nobody was outside, you know. So we saw that in the CCTV camera the next day. We had a tremendous meeting there. Many people gave their hearts to the Lord. And look at all those crusades right there. 99% in that crusade, they're all Hindus and Muslims. And I want to tell you, it's all started with the $10 a month in the year 1976. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what I want you to know this one. Whether it is your personal life or your business or your job or the church ministry, there has to be an element of faith. Without faith, nothing is going to move. Because God does not respond to needs. God responds to faith. Hallelujah. God responds to our faith. If people can come out and walk by faith. Because Peter, you cannot walk on the water inside the boat. Are you with me? If you want to walk on the boat, Peter, you better get out. We have to stretch our faith. That's what we are stretching on. When we have 30,000, you may wonder, why Pastor J, Dr. J, why you want to just reach 30,000 children? Yes. We want to reach 150,000 people with the gospel of Christ. Because it's a time for us to be serious about the kingdom. Praise God. Because we never know this is now or never. So in all this charity ministry, every time we come here, you show us your love, your hospitality. We spend time with you. We talk with some other friends and Pastor Jordan and Pastor Tamsin. And we spend time with them. We spend with the beloved ones. And we exchange and interact. And it always encourages. Hallelujah. And you know, that's what we are known as the church. That's why when I said Clint Eastwood, what I meant is not just one man's business. It's a teamwork. The church is a body of Christ. We are all the members of the body of Christ. Are you with me this morning? Can you say amen to that? Because we have to declare, as the word says, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And what is the next word? Come on, by the word of their testimony, declaration. You have to confess that this church is going to impact hundreds of people, thousands of people. We have to confess. That's what God is telling. If I say, oh, I cannot do that, I cannot do that, I'm already just, you know, in my mind, I'm set up. I cannot do that. But if I confess, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, I will be able to do what God has called me to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you may have a different message, your life's message. By my life's message, I'm living for it. Because when I was a poor boy, nothing to eat. We had only white rice in the house. We pour water into this, put some salt, and take a green chili and bite the chili and eat that food. That's all I had. It is that time Jesus met me. Praise the Lord. He didn't make me a rich man overnight, but he gave me the hope. He gave me an object to live for. A vision to live for. I said, God, I don't have anything to give to you. I don't have money or anything. But I have my life. If you ever need me, you take me. That's what I gave my life. I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you look at problems. While you're looking at the problems, the devil comes and puts a magnifying glass between the problem and your eyes, and it becomes more bigger. That's what we look at our problems. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Hallelujah. If God can take me out of that place, educated me. It is God who educated me. I did my MA in BA in English, MA in English. I became a professor of English in the university. I mean, I can't even figure out how this could happen, but it's because of God. So that's what, you know, the vision. God, as Lizzie was sharing with you, you know, Paul makes it very clear. I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision, O King Agrippa. And I want every one of you sitting here, you are all just sitting here with the potentialities in your life. That's what every time I come to Brooks, once in a year I come here. And you know, me and Lizzie, sometime alone I come and share with you. There's a potentiality. And I only pray and believe that God will help us, and He will open our eyes to see where you are standing. What kind of potentiality you have. What kind of vision. I was just sitting this morning, or maybe I got up at 4:25 in the morning in my bed. I didn't want to disturb Lizzie. I was just going through in my mind, you know, I was just thinking about this church, how God, you know, started this church, how God brought this church, how God put the people together in the church. And there's a potentiality for this church. How God is using this church to help so many people in the nation of India. Many of you have come, you know, many people from this church have come to India and bless the nation. So there is something there. So we are believing through the 30,000 children to reach 150,000 people in the next 10 years, one decade's time. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So I want to, from the bottom of our heart, me and Lizzie and all our state leaders and all our, you know, workers and believers, and thank you so much for standing with us in getting the vision across and thousands of people getting saved. Praise the Lord. So that's what, you know, we are doing right now. And we'll continue to pray for you. There are three things God put in my heart, and I'm going to share with you and clubbing it along with some experiences in my life. Praise the Lord. I want to read a verse for you from the Bible. Point number one, God just told me this one. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. This I was, you know, when I was just meditating, you know, for you, Lord, what are the words that you want to give to the church this morning? So God put this word in my heart. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. I'm going to read it for you. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse number 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, or rivers in the desert. So tonight, I'm sorry, this morning, God is telling, you know, I am going to do a new thing in your life. The first promise that God gives to you and me, that I am going to, many a time what happens was, we are only thinking about the past. We thank the Lord. You know, as all this business grows all over the world, whether it's a secular or religious, all these business experts, you know what they say? Look at your past. Let not your past lead you, but learn from your past. Praise the Lord. Learn from the past. Then you become wiser and wiser. And that's what John Maxwell, the Christian guru, you know, business guru, he also says, learn from the past. We always make mistakes. And I have made thousands of mistakes. Sometimes I wonder, God, can't you just find somebody better than me? You know, because I always think, you know, I'm not good sometimes. But it's because of the calling of God. God says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We always look at ourselves and we measure us by the failures we made, by the mistakes we made, by, you know, all this mess we made. But God does not, you know, look at us like that. God looks at you and me with a divine point of view. Praise God. Because You and I, if our life can be given in the hand of God, and we just, you know, I mean, that's what he told to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. He never said any other thing. You know, you better go to Himalayas and walk up, you know, there and carry a cross. He never said anything like that. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's all you have to do. And the rest I will do for you. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. You walk before me. Just lead a life. And somebody says, enjoy the journey. Many of us are just always, you know, our mind is about the destination. We are suffering from the destination fever. You know destination fever? Oh, I have to reach, I have to reach. And then what are you going to do? No, I reach and I don't know what to do now. Enjoy the journey. This is the life. Every day, you know, that's why the Bible says, morning by morning, thy mercies are new. Hallelujah. Every day we have to learn to enjoy the presence of God. That's what Lizzie was talking about. The presence of God. And Moses knew that very well. Lord, he said very plainly, if your presence is not going with me, forget it. Don't take from me. I'm not going to come. He said, no, I'll send an angel. No, I'm not interested in the angel. I'm interested in you. God, I want you to be in my family. I want you to be between me and my wife. I want you to be in my church. I want you to be in my farm, in my business. And whatsoever I do, God, I want you to be there. And anything anointed of God will grow. Come on, everybody say, anything anointed of God will grow. Come on. Open your mouth and make a confession. Anything anointed of God will grow. Praise the Lord. It may be Aaron's rod, but it will grow. Because God is in it. And that's how it's going to be. So God is telling right here, I'm going to do a new thing. I do not know why. God says, I'm just giving that word to you. I felt in my spirit to give to you. Sometime our mind controls us. You know, do you know how they capture the elephants? Some of you from Thailand, is that right? Some of you from Philippines, I don't know. But in India, how they capture and tame the elephant is very, very interesting. Okay, they make a big, they dig a ditch, very big ditch, and put all these leaves over that, and then put some banana fruits right there, and the elephants come and fall right into the ditch. And it just there, screaming. And then after some time, 2-3 days, they leave it right there. They bring other elephants and pull it out. And then what they do was, they tie the leg of the elephant to a huge iron pillar and leave it right there. It is trying with an iron chain. The leg is tied to the pillar, iron pillar. It's a very big pillar. It's trying to make itself free and screams and shouts and it's terrible. He leaves them and they leave the elephant there for 3-4 days or 5 days. After that, it has calmed down. Once it calmed down, they come and untie it and take it. And then they go and put it somewhere. Put a small little wooden stick and then tie the leg to the wooden stick. The elephant is right there. With one pull, it can pull that wooden stick, wooden pole very easily. But it never tries. You know why? Because the mind is broken. His mind is set. I tried many times. It didn't work. I'm not going to try anymore. Many of us are like this. You know, you have to understand the work of the devil. He makes many failures to come in our life. And he's very particular. And then what happened? You did it, you failed, you did it, you failed. And this, you trusted these people and they just betrayed you. And you put your hand here and this didn't go very well. As a result, you don't want to try again. There's a work. We are not ignorant of the cunning devices of the devil. I want to tell you right now. I believe that God is speaking to somebody, maybe many, maybe one, maybe two. You tried many times, it didn't work, and you just give up. No. God can never be happy with the quitters. He will never like you to quit. May righteous man may fall 7 times, he will rise. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? He may fall 7 times. You are in the ring. You received blows. Yeah, sometime, you know, in the ring of our life, you know, the devil gave a very punching blow on our nose and we have fallen down. You may be down, but you are not out. Praise the Lord. You are still inside the ring and you can hear the Holy Spirit telling, 1, 2, 3, 4, you can rise. Righteous man may fall 7 times, yet he will rise. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. I'm walking with Jesus by his mercies and grace for the last 53 years. I have seen ups and downs in life. And you know, as we just sang the song, the worship team led us today. How deep, how wide. Hallelujah. We cannot understand, fathom the love of God. He still loves you more than anybody else in this world. Hallelujah. Will a mother forget her sucking child? Yes, she may, but not I. I will never forget you. You know, I remember the time, you know, I was reading a book and the writer says, it was Oral Roberts, he says like this, God never forgets those who once loved. Praise God. So, God promises going to do a new thing in our midst. My second word, very quickly, and then third, and I give it and close it. It's taken from Joel, chapter 2, verse number 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillars and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. The second word I felt in this morning to give to you is, God is a God of restoration. And God promises to restore something in us. You know those crusades that I'm by the grace of God we are conducting right now? The word came to me in the year 1966. 1966, I saw the vision. I'm carrying the Bible and walking over these crowds of people preaching the gospel. And I've been waiting so faithfully from 1966 to 2014. That's how we started it. I never let that word go. Yes, I did big, big crusades for many, many evangelists from Canada. Many, many big seminars, 10,000 pastor seminar for 4 days. We used to arrange like this. But then I was holding on to that word, and that word has come. Right now we are seeing that one. God is a God of restoration. If you have lost something in your life, maybe as Lizzie was sharing, if your vision has not become a passion, maybe you have lost the passion. Maybe I have lost the passion of doing because I don't want to do this one. Because, you know, I don't know how people accept it or things like this. And I feel very strongly this morning to tell to you, my brothers and sisters, saints of God, members of this wonderful church, that God is on the process of restoring many things back in your life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? You know, the word of God comes direct to you. Maybe the passion between your family, not only the mission. You know, let us not just always think about the mission. What is the mission? Your family is your mission. Your family is the mission field. You know, when Billy Graham was preaching the gospel around the world, some of the young people may not even know who is Billy Graham. You may not even know. But when he was in the 60s and 70s and 80s, preaching the word around the world, his wife was not traveling with him. That they asked, don't you think that you should also go to the crusades? And she said, no, I got my mission field right in my house. My 3 children, or whatever children, they are my mission field. So today, again, God says to us, First thing he said, I'll do a new thing. And the second word God is telling, I will restore whatever has been eaten by the enemies. God is a God of restoration. And I want to share another word right here. The third word is very interesting one, taken from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. You know, it is about Elisha and the children of the sons of prophets. They're all the cutting the wood, and then his axe head falls down into the water. And then he cries, oh, alas, master, I lost my axe head. So he said, where did it fall? So I'm going to read that word right now. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, but it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in the thither. And the iron did swim. So the third point I want to share with you was, where the iron axe head fell, the same place, God is going to make it swim again. Where you lost your passion, your vision, where we have lost something in our life, the same place, God is going to do a miracle. Praise God, because our God is a God of miracle. Do you believe that one? He's a God of miracle. That's what we are seeing in the Big Crusades. I mean, all those people are Hindus. They've never been to any church. They do not even know how to sit in a church. And they come there and miracles take place. Many people are healed. Demons are cast out. Not by our power, but by the power in the name of Jesus. God is a God of miracle. And the third point that God is telling right here is this. Where you lost, there I'm going to cause that to swim again. Hallelujah. Friends, please remember us in your prayers. We thank you for standing with us. Every time we come, that you know, you stand with us, you bless us. And the partnership in the ministry is going a long way. It's 1.2 billion people. And also the city of Delhi, you have to realize, this is right now, according to the United Nations survey, the second largest city in the whole world. The first one is Tokyo, 34 million people. And the second is Delhi, 24 million people. And in the next 10 years' time, Delhi will be number one in the whole world, because it's going to beat Tokyo in population. So can you believe that right in one city I can reach 24 million people? You know, I don't need any visa. Hallelujah. So right in one city, that's what I see. The opportunities are so much. Maybe Pastor Jordan, you have to come. Come and teach the people there. The leaders there. You know, you look at the word that Jesus said. The field is white unto harvest. What did he say next? You tell me. What did he say? Laborers are few. Field is white. That God is telling, I'm sending to reap what you have not sown. But laborers are few. So that is what right now, you know, we are believing. And we also, missions, a VCA mission helped us. So we are building the Bible school in the city of Agra. Here you have the Taj Mahal, you know. So this is a three-story building, and we hope to have 50 students every session, 50 students. So we will inaugurate that one in the month of October. And yes, please remember us in your prayers, because everywhere, you know, we have a national vision of planting one church in every district of India. Praise the Lord. I thought that, you know, a few years ago, I thought that maybe that my two sons are in Canada, my daughter is in Sweden, so I can just retire a little bit and go and live with my sons, you know. When you think like this, God shows up with a big vision. Now I want you to plant one church in every district of India. Do you know how many districts are there right now? It's always growing, but right, the current thing is 683 districts are there. One church. That's going to take all my life. Yeah. I thought I can retire, me and Leslie, just come here and enjoy your holy cow, praise the Lord. Because you cannot eat beef in India right now, it's against the law. The Hindu government that has come to power last 2 years, you cannot touch a cow. You can kill a man, but not a cow. Yeah. And you know, in this government, you know, I mean, cow becomes more important and monkeys have become more important, cobras and rat. They have a temple full of rats. It's a rat temple. 5,000 rats are running around everywhere. And they're worshiping there. So I thought, man, just far from this madding crowd. Well, I can come to Kerala, that God shows up and tells, no, you have to plant one church in every district of India. That's a national level. Now, I have to gear up because without a team, I will not be able to do that. Me and Lizzie will not be able to do that one. Then, the regional level, God gives another vision for the city of Delhi. Now, you have to plant 20 churches in the next one decade. In the city of Delhi, 20 churches. And each church will have 2,000 members. Oh, God. Oh, it has to be God. Praise the Lord. I cannot make it myself. Then God comes with the vision of 30,000 children. Reach them and reach their families. 150,000. Oh, my goodness. Why every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? If only we learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit, life is really enjoying. Sometimes it is really pressing down. And people wonder, Dr. J, Pastor J, how do you cope up with all these things? I myself do not know how. That is what God is. He told me, this vision will be done in my spirit, in my time, in my method. It's not going to be done in your time. I'm just praying, God, give us a 683 churches and pastors' family. Who's going to pay for all of them? It's not like your country. It's a Hindu country, a Muslim country. Then already they both are fighting like and killing one another. They do not know anything about tithe and all. How am I going to support? God sends one of his prophet. And in a meeting like this, you know, in my church right now, we are running around 500. We're believing to go to 1,000 and 2,000 right now. And at the end of the message, he calls Pastor Jay, come on the stage. So went there. He's from Israel. He has brought a replica of Ark of the Covenant. He's bringing all the way from Israel a small model of the Ark of the Covenant. And he gives that to me. And he says, God is telling to you, the vision you have got is from God. And now he says, you bring his presence in every place you go. Praise the Lord. Just a little bit calculation, a mathematical calculation. How many people you need to bring the presence of God according to the scripture? If two or three gather in his name, he's there. You all need only two people or three people gathered together. Praise the Lord. Just spend time in prayer. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, God has great ideas for us, great plans for our life. That's what God, that is the strategy God has given to us. Plant a church, a house church, two, three people. Let them come and read the Bible, pray together, and praise and worship. When the incense of praise and prayer and worship rises, the powers of darkness will withdraw. Hallelujah. I challenge you, young people, if there is anybody, there are some young people are here. You know, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. Bring Jesus in your life, in your house, and you see the withdrawal of the powers of darkness from your business, from your ministry, from anything that you are doing. That's what God told us. Bring my presence. It's very easy. Economical also. Is that right? You don't need to pay for it. We can just two, three people gather together. So what all we have to do was, we have to get into a village or something like this. And then get people saved. Cast out a few devils. Praise the Lord. and they will come to the Lord and teach them to pray. When they begin to pray, that's what we did it. When God poured the Holy Spirit upon us. You know, we were all from Anglican church. You know Anglican church? Do you know Anglican church? Yeah. So God sovereignly filled us with the Holy Spirit. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Anglicans kicked us out. Get lost. We don't want you here. You know. So we had to join one Assemblies of God church. That was the church. The pastor had only 30 members, you know. So we joined the church. We never bothered for the pastor because, you know, all he could do was just gather 30 people. But here we are, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, fiery for the Lord. And then we just used to gather together in a house and pray. And oh my goodness, the power of God will come upon us like anything. Have you ever heard these holy rollers? You know, you roll here and there in the inside of forest also. So powerful, the anointing will come upon us. You know, rock to rock, it will hit and fire will come. That's how it was. That's how we started. And I want to encourage you today in closing before handing over the mic to Pastor Jordan. What all we need is, we need God. We need His presence. Some of us are running without the fire in our week. Some of us are trying to do something, but the presence of the Lord is not there. I believe it will not take much time for us to bring Him back. Bring Him back, Jesus, in our life. God, without You, I cannot do anything. May God give us the wisdom to seek His face and say, God, I want You, Lord. More than anything, I was just sharing with some of our pastors yesterday. The article by Benny Hinn, I don't know whether any one of you read it or not. Charisma Magazine has come. And he also gave an interview in TBN as well as in God TV. And I sent that to you. Have you received it? Otherwise, I'll send it again. Yeah, it's an article. Maybe Pastor Jordan can give that to you. He says, in Africa, he had a heart attack or something, was admitted in the hospital. So he had a dream, of a trance or a dream. He's standing in the queue before the gate of glory. Jesus sitting there. And there's a woman there playing the piano. One by one, great evangelists, pastors, they're all in the queue. They're about to enter into glory, enter into heaven. And many of them, more than 80%, were rejected. Pastors. Leaders, Christian celebrities, they had to go to hell. And now this is a time of Benny Hinn comes. And if Jesus nods his head, then the lady will play a nice music and then the angels will come and take the person into heaven. If Jesus does not nod his head, then the lady will play a disturbed music. And the demons will come and take the soul to hell. And here comes, this is a chance. This is Benny Hinn is standing and looking at Jesus. He's not doing anything. He was really afraid. He woke up. God said, this is my second chance for you. And Benny writes, Benny Hinn, I'm talking about Benny Hinn. He writes in that article, I was faking many times the presence of God. Now I don't care what people talk about me or think about me. I want God. I want God. I want to encourage every one of you, dear children of God. In our life, only one life that will soon be passed, only done for Christ will last. We brought nothing into this world. We'll take nothing out of this world. I want to just you to think about it. May God bless the church, the leadership of the church, the worship team, the youth team, the children's team, our prayers are always with you. Please remember us in your prayers that we may reach India for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Praise God. That brings us to a decision. So let's pray and then we'll receive our morning offering. Father, this morning we thank you for a word in season. Father, this morning we thank you for the truth of your gospel that you continually reach to us, always looking for that response. Father, help us be found in your kingdom and that place alone, in Jesus' name. Father, let us realize, like Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. Father, forgive us where we have sought other things prior to your kingdom. Help us realize today, this morning, and re-center our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you today, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and you are being recentered, or you're asking him to recenter you, just acknowledge him today by raising your hand. Yeah. Yeah. That just like they shared, I'd like to retire, but the vision is too great. That just like they both shared about Paul, that he would have been scarred, he would have been marred, and yet he stood passionate before the king, King Agrippa, and said, I'm not disobedient. This vision is greater than my very life. If that's where you're at today, let's just pray this with everyone together. Say, Father, thank you. The kingdom is greater than me. But in your great will, you include me in that kingdom. Forgive me for where I've sought my life before yours. Cleanse my desires and align my will and passion to your kingdom first, to people first, to no longer things first, but you and your kingdom first, in Jesus' name. Father, this morning, just answer the prayers of your people, we pray. Holy Spirit, do a mighty work in our hearts to see one another differently, to see your kingdom differently, that where there wasn't passion or passion has weaned, that, Father, you would impart to us greater passion than we've even ever experienced before, in Jesus' name. Help us see, mighty God, the mission field in front of us, in our homes and at our workplaces, in our businesses and in our community, in Jesus' name. Help us realize that their life matters to you. And give us the words to share. That, Father, you may grow us and you may grow our body because we're seeking first your kingdom, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone that agreed said, amen.